The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
The basketball expert of Arkansas, Razorbacks.
I thought you were going to skip me the way your buddy skipped me in the title. Good job, Ty.
The intro, you mean?
Yeah.
You got to get your consistency back. You've done pretty well so far to start off the year.
There we go.
So we just need you to get a little more consistency going. And
fire Zimmerman.
That's your reason to the game
instant
last night.
Analysis.
Hey, I'm getting right to it. What are we? We're 2 minutes in. You got to fire Zimmerman, or you're not going to make. Yeah. No, I mean, I like to because certain people that listen to this show feel like I pick on Zimmerman. So I like to do those things. But no, that's not why Arkansas lost last night.
Yeah, because
it wasn't because of Zimmerman.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like we're gonna have a lot to talk about today because even on the football side of things, there's been some really big news, and we'll get to all that.
Listen, football's done.
Well, I mean,
over.
Yeah. Not with the storyline yesterday.
And quit talking about the transfer portal.
Why?
Somebody sent me a DM and asked me if I could put Mike Anderson in the transfer portal.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, I don't even, it's like that's what's funny about it. Is the transfer portal is just like this aura of things that people don't even understand or know about. They just know it gets mentioned. But, you know, I think that we just have to start with the performance last night by the Razorback basketball team at home against Bud Walton Arena against Florida. Maybe a lack thereof performance. Arkansas loses this game 57-51. 51 points total by the Razorbacks. They had 22 points in the first half. They shot 15 of 26 from the free throw line, which is normally a story, but it wasn't just that. 6 of 26 from three-point land, 15 of 50 from field goal. I mean, just good grief. 16 turnovers.
But that doesn't even tell the whole story because you had one guy, Mason Jones, scored 30 points.
30!
Now, listen to this. Mason Jones from the floor, 7 of 13, 53%. 3-point, 4 of 9, 44%. And at the free throw line, 12 of 13, 92%. He scored 30 of the 51. So what did the rest of the team do? Aha, got that right here. The rest of the team from the floor went 8 of 37. That's 21%. From downtown, 2 of 17. 11%. Ty Richardson could do better than 2 of 17.
Thanks, Tommy.
And at the free throw line, the rest of the team, everyone on the team not named Mason Jones, went 3 of 13 at the free throw line and combined for 21 pathetic points.
Well, and then, Tommy, and I'm going to one-up you, and I haven't even looked this up yet, but I'm just trying to think in my head when one of these guys scored. Then if you want to combine Gabe, Ethan Henderson, Ibrahim, Desi Seals, Keyshawn Embry, who else is on the
Henderson
bench?
Henderson ain't even on the box score.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reggie Chaney.
Reggie Chaney.
He played 5 minutes.
Who else? So anyway, if you want to combine all those guys, you want to combine the Morning Rush team this morning, we combine for the same amount of points.
Well, there's four guys on the box score that scored the donut, and Jalen Harris had 2. He's not, you know, he's your point guard.
Right.
He should do better than 2, but he only had 3 assists last night. His assist to turnover ratio took a hit last night.
I mean, it was without a doubt the worst performance of Arkansas so far this season, and it might have been one of the worst performances we've seen under a Mike Anderson team in quite some time. Just because overall, we have seen games where opposing teams have come into Bud Walton Arena and have shot lights out and have beaten Arkansas. That happens in college basketball in general and that's what I'm saying is that when you have a game like what Florida was playing, because Florida played like crap too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolute garbage is what they played like. And so when you have a team, if I would have told you yesterday going into this game, guys, Florida's only going to score 57 points. They're going to turn the ball over 12 times. They're only going to shoot 31% from the field. And also 23% from the three-point line. You say Arkansas wins in a blowout.
I would have liquidated I would have called Tommy and asked him, hey, how much of this property do you want to buy? I'll sell it to you 10 cents on the dollar. I would have liquidated everything that I could to bet on Arkansas if I'd have known, one, that Florida was only going to score 50, whatever they score.
57.
Then if you told me, if you told me Mason Jones was going to score 30, then that's just – but then you start looking at things like Jalen Harris scores 2, Daniel Gafford shoots 4 times. You start to look at those type of things, and you're like, oh, okay, I can see how Florida can score in the mid-50s in Arkansas, can still lose. And that's probably the worst part about that game last night was that game was winnable from the opening tip all the way all the way to the end of the game. I mean, Florida never looked good. And throughout the game, and I just kept thinking in my head, man, how bad is Florida? Because I thought Arkansas played as bad as they could have played. I thought that if you are a head coach or if you are a fan and you go, hey, I never want my team to do these things, I feel like Arkansas checked the box of every single one of those things and played as bad as they could have played. And still, it comes down to one possession where, and Arkansas gets a couple good looks at it to where they could have tied the game or won the game. And so, I'm really...
Hang on. You thought those were good looks at the end?
Well, okay. So, no. Meaning, but... Okay. So, no. But Arkansas...
I just want to make sure we were on the same page about that. I want to understand what you were saying.
Meaning, more of the Hawks had their chance, and they had some good opportunities to win the basketball game or tie the basketball game, and man, they just and it was funny because my buddies kept texting me and saying Adriel Bailey kept getting attacked by the Space Jam aliens because just as he was, I mean, as he was out there, it's just like even on the fast break where he was running down the court, then he just kind of dribbled it and kicked it out of bounds, and man, there's just so many things to go over with this basketball team, and you probably got to start with the front court.
Well, all of this nonsense that happens where you shoot horribly, you turn the ball over, you play terribly for the first 39 and a half minutes is one thing. You kind of get it in gear late, but 33 seconds to go. Walk us through this, Nick. 33 seconds to go, you call timeout, you're down 2, and you come out of a timeout with a score 53-51 Florida. And that's all that people remember. You can talk about the first 33 minutes. You can talk about the horrible shooting. You had a chance to tie or take the lead with 33 seconds to go. Your coach calls timeout to assume to draw up a play, to organize the offense, to do something to give your team a real chance to execute a play to score. What happened in that final 33 seconds?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. If you're down 2 points, and I think this is easy, and I think this is something to where Arkansas is going to make up their mind, and this is how they're going to go about it. If I'm down 2 points, I'm not calling no plays. I'm not doing any of that. If I'm Mike Anderson, I'm saying whichever one of you guards don't throw the ball to Gafford. Whenever I say throw the ball to Gafford, you're not playing anymore. You're not playing for the rest of the season if you do not throw the ball to Gafford, because it's and I talk about this stuff all the time. What do I bring up? And you know, a lot of us do. But why was the football team so bad? Well, you start to look at, okay, who's declaring for the NFL draft? And you see Arkansas didn't have any pros. And if you're looking at the basketball team right now, why are they struggling? Because of their lack of pros.
Ryan Pulley?
But yeah. But they have one guy in the middle that is a lottery pick. And so he has to touch the basketball, and it's not very hard. Just get him to duck in. And for those of you that don't know basketball terms, all a duck in is exactly what it, I mean, is exactly the name of it. Just stand there and then pin your man and post up right in the middle of the paint, get the ball thrown to you, and then, you know, shoot a jump hook or shoot a layup. And I would live with Arkansas forcing the ball to Gafford and Gafford forcing it through a double team trying to shoot a layup. I'll live with that. Or if you're down 3, then Isaiah Joe, him, or Mason Jones need to get the ball and to come off of a screen. There needs to be another shooter in the corner.
That's what happened. They ran a curl screen.
Of what they're doing, and they need to shoot a 3. because and I felt like they were playing so bad last night that they needed to go for the win. They needed to shoot a three, and they needed to good. And I didn't even mind about getting a good look at it because that's how bad Arkansas was playing. So they need to put those two things in, and literally at the end of games, and not only games, but even like at the end of halves, it seems like Arkansas just, hey, let's just get the ball to some guy, and they've been doing this for years. Let's throw the ball in to whoever the point guard is, dribble, and try to throw something up at the end, and that's just not going to win you very many games.
Well, if you want to hear what Mason Jones, he was able to meet with the media afterwards. He was asked about that final possession and what exactly went on, and this is what Mason Jones had to say.
He just drew up a good play for for us to come off the pick, for me to come off the pick of Adriel, and I came off the pick. I felt like I had a lane. I feel like I should have pulled up, but I missed the shot. Adriel got the rebound. He had a chance to make the layup, but he missed. But so it is. We got two good shots at the last seconds, but we just keep learning lessons. Eventually we're gonna get over that curve of the late night games.
Yeah. So I don't know what he was talking about there at the end, but no. And like, I'm tired of people saying, so it's, there's no rule that says a young team has to grow up the next game. Like, that's not a rule. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, you know, they're young, they're going to get there. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. This is the way birthdays work. You stay the same age for an entire year. So if you think they're young right now, they're going to be young for an entire year.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it's not just, oh, okay, well, if you keep falling flat on your face, you're eventually going to figure it out. Well, if you continue to do the same things with the same guys, then, you know, it's going to be tough. But I'm not completely surprised about this, because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. When you have an average team with some average players, you're going to get a lot of average play. And last night, that's what happened. Like, every single one of your guys played like role players or below. Mason Jones, he did come to play, but it's going to be tough to win games in this league with one guy going off and everybody else playing poor. And that's what happened last night. Nobody on Arkansas played good outside of Mason Jones. And you're not going to – you may be able to beat Vandy. Vandy's awful. You may be able to beat Texas A&M at home. But if you only have one guy that's playing well, you're not going to get very many wins in the SEC.
Yeah, there's a lot of games left in this SEC slate, so we'll see how they bounce back or if they lay down and die. I know a lot of Razorback fans were just absolutely upset, to say the least, from last night's performance, and I think that can't happen again if this team wants to get anything done as the season goes on.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Chadley is in Benton. What's going on, Chadley?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. I don't know if I really agree with the statement that because you're a grad transfer, you may not be a good quarterback or may not be successful. I mean, you look at Tyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, both those guys were transfers from other school and they end up winning a Heisman Trophy. You know, grad transfer, it may not be a good situation for that particular player at that particular school, and then they transfer out, go to a different situation, different school, and then they can be successful. I mean, like Shane Bichelle, I thought he was a great quarterback. If I had to pick the quarterback out of Jalen Hurts, Ben Hicks, Bichelle, I like Bichelle. I thought he was really good at Texas. You know, that situation with Charlie Strong, you know, that was a pretty dramatic place. I mean, as far as a lot of drama. But did he not get hurt and then Islander took over as the backup and then never lost a job again? Is that how Bichelle kind of lost his starting job?
Yeah, I think that went into part of it. I have to do some more research on it. I know in 2016, he started the majority of the snaps. He threw for 3,000 yards in 2016 with 21 touchdowns and 11 picks. But then, yeah, as time went on, he started getting less and less snaps. I know in 2017, he played a lot as well. But eventually, they decided to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I thought he was when I watched Texas and watched him play, I liked him. I thought he was a great quarterback. He could run, throw. He's pretty accurate. Very athletic. I mean, he was a good quarterback. That would be my pick if I had to choose. be the best school, you know, to come in for 1 year. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, and listen, and appreciate the phone call, Chadley, man, because I think Shane Buechele, if that ends up being the guy, again, I think it'll be better than anybody that they have on the roster currently. But listen, because here's the thing, Nick, I get what you are saying, yeah. too. I understand that. But I guess I look at it from a different perspective. Like, if there is any player, any piece, anything that you can add that will make you better, even if it's just one game better, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Just because, and like, because this coaching staff and Chad Morris, listen, they went 2-10 last year. The worst season in Razorback football history. I mean, far and away, your two wins were against two terrible teams. One of them's not even a Division I. I mean, it was just all bad. And you're at a position now, and especially at the quarterback position, where what you had last year, you can't have again. And you got some guys that maybe you feel confident in later down the road, maybe Connor Nolan or KJ Jefferson, but you got to do something right now.
Yeah.
And so if it's Shane Buechele, I don't know if he's going to come in and set the world on fire. He may come in and be very average, maybe even bad. But you got to at least take that chance and take that risk on getting somebody in here that can hopefully help your team out, even if it is just winning one or two more games.
And hey, I can understand that. I'm just not trying to sit around while a graduate transfer plays, because I'm telling you, whoever's playing quarterback next year, they're not leading this team to a bowl game. That's not happening.
Even Jalen Hurts, if he came in.
He's definitely not.
Okay.
He's gonna throw it to the other team more time than he throws it to his team. And so, like, that's just not happening. And right. so you're telling me that I want to sign up for me going into season knowing that you're not gonna make a bowl game, and then I need to sign up for waiting to see who the quarterback is, because then you're gonna be in the same boat the next year, because now you're gonna be talking about, oh well, you're gonna have a first year starter in Connor Nolan or KJ Jefferson. Let's hope they can figure it out. And in the SEC, this isn't a league where you can figure it out. You need to already know what you need to know heading into the year. Now, in saying all that, though, as a head coach, I don't think you can look at things like that, especially after going 2-10, because you cannot do that again.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, like if you can win 3 games or 4 games, yes, that is more. And as a head coach, I think that a head coach is going to agree more with you, John, on I need to win as many games today as possible, because the next year is not promised.
Yeah. And Tommy, another thing that I find fascinating, too, or at least interesting, with the save for this Jalen Hurts thing that we've been discussing, why didn't he transfer at the beginning of the season? I mean, was he just convinced by Daniels and the coaching staff for any particular reason that, no, just go ahead and stay, it'll be fine? Because you end up transferring anyway. He wasn't really a factor. The only game he was really a factor in was the Georgia game in the SEC championship, where he came in when Tua got hurt and led the team to a victory, played really well in that. So, I mean, he really wasn't a major factor all season long. It just makes me wonder, what was he told that made him say, you know what, I'm not going to transfer out. I'm not going to do the 4-game thing. I'm going to stick it out at Alabama for the season, when he ended up transferring anyway. I'm just curious by that.
I think he was told the story that unfolded. There's going to be a moment where you get to redeem yourself. There's going to be a moment where you get to come in and save the team. There's going to be a spotlight opportunity for you. And I think when you look at it, the SEC championship game obviously was his biggest moment of the year, but it's not big enough to keep him there moving forward. So I think he was probably encouraged to stay there, because is there a better place to develop as a quarterback? Is there a better place to develop as a player at any position than at the University of Alabama? And, you know, football is obviously a sport where you're never more than a play away from your backup taking over your spot because of the risk of injury in the sport. So, you know, it's hard to leave a place like Alabama with the rich tradition, all the success, and then put yourself out there. It's kind of like quitting a great, great job. You got a really good job, and you're going to quit with nothing else to really go to.
But
it's a hard decision to make. It's brave.
And here's the thing, guys. You know he's going to go to Oklahoma and win the Heisman next year, right? I mean that's plain and simple.
He ain't winning the Heisman.
I mean, it just seems
not unless there's two other guys that we just talked about that played on Monday night. Unless they're not playing next year, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's more said tongue in cheek. But and I get what you're saying, Tommy. It's just a weird how the quarterback situation is set up. And going back to the Arkansas element too, when it was announced yesterday, I jokingly, of course, brought, I wanted to troll people and saying it's like, hey, Jalen Hurts announces he's in the transfer portal, and then high story same time. Uh-oh, look out. There he's coming to Arkansas. And it was kind of amazing that there were a few people, not more than a few people, a lot of people that said, you know, I don't want him. I want to stick with the guys that we have on campus.
That's crazy.
And then to me, that's crazy. I'm like, because let me ask you something. Let me flip it on you. Did you feel that way when Ryan Mallett said, you know what, I want to transfer to Arkansas? Did these people come out and say, no. We got Tyler Wilson and all these.
Because he can throw.
I know, but my thing.
So no, everybody was happy. Everybody was happy because he could throw.
Yeah, but my point is, though, is that you can't just have the mentality of saying, well, you want to stick with the guys on campus when the guys on the campus can't play or at least have not proven themselves.
Yeah. I can't. Now, I'll say this. I cannot defend the guys on campus, and I can't say anything to discredit you by saying, bro, did you watch what I watched last year? And I did, and I can't discredit you.
Yeah, watched every game brutally.
So I mean, I understand where you're coming from on the whole, like, hey, this just needs to be everybody just needs to get out, and you just need to start all over. I understand that. I'm just saying, What's going to happen is a quarterback's going to come in here. You're not going to go bowling. And then we're going to be talking next year. Ooh, I wonder who the quarterback's going to be. And it's like, so you've already given up one season. Let's not sacrifice another season so then you can then start to figure things out. Like, I'd rather these young receivers, these young playmakers that are in here to start to develop a type of relationship with a quarterback that's going to be on campus for multiple years, not just one. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. But now, if I did think that a quarterback could come in here and get you five wins or get you close to a bowl or get you even talking about a bowl game, then I'd be on that side too. I just think this team is so bad that that one quarterback is not going to make this team go from two wins to six.
So you'd say it would be worth it to get a grad transfer quarterback and to start him if it meant going to a bowl game.
But
so at what point do you say is it worth it? Even if they don't make a bowl game, if they get the five wins, is it worth it?
Yeah, it's worth it because if you get the five wins, that means you had a chance. So if you have a shot of going bowling, it is worth it. Definitely for this team and you have to remember, too, for this coaching staff, too. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's worth it. But if you're winning 2, 3, 4 games, which I think they're kind of going to be at unless they change more than just one position, I just don't see it being worth it then because, once again, we're going to be talking about, oh, well, who's the quarterback going to be? Well, KJ Jefferson got to play in the Alabama game and the LSU game and this other game when Arkansas was up by 100 or down by 100. And Connor Nolan got to play 50 snaps in these couple of games, too. We don't know a lot about him, so maybe we'll figure it out in spring football. Yeah. And it's like, nah.
Well, the thing is, and I don't know exactly how the pitching is going to be done by Chad Morris and this staff or Joe Craddock or whoever's going to be talking to these quarterbacks, but I could probably see something to where they reach out to Jalen Hurts or whoever, and they're like, and the guy, the quarterback responds is saying, hey, so tell me about your offensive line. And then Chad Morris says, well, you know, the thing is, we got some wide receivers that are really talented coming in, true freshmen, some raw guys. Okay, tell me about your offensive line. Well, our running backs, you know, you got Devoir Whaley and Rakeem Boyd, some playmakers there. What about your offensive line? Tight ends. We got Cheyenne O'Grady, a veteran, and the best tight end in the country coming in. Tell me about your offensive line. Do you have any friends that play offensive line? Because we could probably use some help over here. I mean, because that's what it's going to come down to as well. If I'm a quarterback, I got to look at all the position pieces. And I think that there's at least enough in the skill positions to get somebody at least a little interested. But the offensive line, good grief.
And not just that, and I'll end on this note, not just that, but also to everybody talks about, oh, well, you can come to Arkansas, you can get playing time. You don't think every coach in the country that's recruiting these kids is saying you're going to come in and start right away? So the whole playing time thing, that's a wash.
Yeah.
Because none of these guys are transferring
to be on the bench.
Yeah. And none of these coaches are telling these guys, hey, if you transfer here, you're going to have to fight for a job, but I think you can win it.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the phone lines. We are now joined by Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How's it going this morning, man?
Doing well, guys.
I appreciate you joining us as always on every Thursday because there's a lot to get to. Had a lot of news going on yesterday, and I want to start with the football side of things. Obviously, it's being reported that Ty Story has entered his name into the transfer portal, which isn't really surprising that he's looking to transfer, at least looking at options, but it was pretty big news as far as the timing and everything went. Do you know anything more about this situation, maybe some schools that he's looking at, and were you a little surprised by the news about him putting his name in the transfer portal?
I don't know about schools, but I wasn't shocked. I mean, maybe the timing. I kind of thought that maybe he would have done it a little bit earlier, but I don't know the exact reasons for coming out yesterday. But I think quite a few people kind of speculated that it might happen. But you know, in defense of Ty, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, obviously he didn't have the greatest year. The whole team didn't have the greatest year. You know, and a lot of that has to do with your supporting cast. And I think, you know, if he gets in a right situation, I think he could, you know, have a good year. I really do.
Well, that was the thing. I kind of feel bad for him. He's had to be a tough kid to take some of the hits that he took this year, and now to transfer out, I think that everyone's going to wish the best of luck to him no matter where he ends up. But now it's about Chad Morris and this staff and looking to get some new quarterback to come in and kind of take over the reins a little bit. We know that they were kind of looking at a grad transfer route, but is there any indication? Is it a Shane Buechele guy they're going after? I mean, what are their options right now?
Well, Shane hasn't entered the portal yet, so I don't know what's going to happen there. Now I do know that about a month ago, and of course this is a month ago, he told somebody that he was staying at the University of Texas. So does he remain there and go through spring practice and see what happens, and then make a move after that, or just stick there? I mean, some guys they like where they are, and they like, you know, their teammates, their coaches. You know, all the speculation on the outside world is about him going elsewhere when really there's no intention of that. So I don't know. I mean, obviously they recruited him at SMU, and you'd think that that would be a natural, fit, I guess, just from the standpoint of them having a previous relationship. But right now, yeah, he hasn't decided – you know, or put it out there that he's leaving. So as of right now, he's really not an option.
Speaking of Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Richard, now that it's pretty much set in stone that this staff for Arkansas is going to be looking at a grad transfer quarterback, what do you think the pitch is going to be? Because when these guys are being recruited by other schools, I think they all can come out and say, hey, playing time, because they wouldn't be really going after them, especially some of these high-caliber guys, if they weren't going to guarantee some playing time. So you have to stand out a little bit. So if you're Chad Morris and this staff, what is the recruiting pitch that you were going to use to look after some of these guys to come in just for a year, maybe two, to try to take over a team that went 2-10 last year?
Pretty much the same, a status quo, and just hope that you know, your system fits that quarterback and what he likes to do. And the chemistry between Coach Morris and Coach Craddock is good with that particular quarterback. I mean, you got to have a lot of trust. If you're a quarterback, you got to have a lot of trust in your coaches, and you'd hope to have a good vibe with them, and be sold on, you know, what's coming in. And you know, obviously they got the two junior college offensive linemen that are on campus right now, and what's coming in also from the freshman class, and as far as receivers, a couple guys are already on campus also. So, you know, that's what I would say, I guess. I mean, I don't know if it would be anything much different than what other people would sell, but it really, I think a lot of times it's about relationships and what your trust factor in those coaches and what they're telling you.
I will say this one thing, Richard. I want your thought on this. It seemed like in just over the past few days that we had a graphic overload when it came to on Twitter, on social media, with some of these recruits and Chad Morris retweeting a lot of these guys. It felt like every time I was getting a notification about Chad Morris in a retweet is about these graphics. And it seems like recruits really enjoy these. And every single time I see a new one, it ups its game a little bit. You talk to a lot of these guys. These graphics that they put out on social media, I mean, how effective are these types types of things and things that are dealt with on social media as far as these recruits and what stands out to them.
Well, it's just another opportunity to get their attention and stand out. And I think Arsenal really does a good job of standing out with their graphics. And the latest one was they sent out was basically that particular kid. You know, each recruit who's personalized had their jersey number had after the national championship game of confetti flying down and everything, had them celebrating the national championship with Arkansas. And that really, I tell you what, I haven't checked, but based on what I could tell, I think that was the most retweeted one from recruits that I've seen. And I talked to several, they just, you know, it's pretty much the same thing when they really hit a home run with a graphic. It's just that how, you know, how neat it was, and how they could envision themselves at Arkansas. You know, in the recruiting process today, it's the wow factor. Anytime you can wow the young men today, I mean, that's you're doing your job, and they do a great job of wowing the kids, especially with the graphics.
Let's switch it up and go to basketball, Richard. Were you surprised that Jordan Phillips left so early?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, there's a kid, Caden Archie, that left TCU, I think, the week before. Same class, 2018 class. It's kids nowadays. And it's not necessarily also always the kid. There's people are surrounding the kid can get in their head, and I think that we saw that last year with Darius Hall, and I think maybe we saw that with Jordan. But I'm not going to lie. I saw all the freshmen play in spring and summer basketball, with the exception of Embry. I really thought that Jordan had the potential, maybe the high ceiling of all of them, and I thought that he had a chance to really be something special. But obviously, he was really way behind just because of his injury and rehab and all that. And I kind of thought that if he was going to make a move, it was probably, as far as making a move, as far as playing time, it's probably going to be later this month or early in February. But unfortunately, we're not going to see that.
And with that departure, though, that does give Arkansas an extra scholarship for the spring. Who do you see them kind of focusing on at that point?
Well, Raven Hawkins, who they offered the other day, a 6'9", 230-pound post player from Finley Prep in Las Vegas. He's a guy that obviously key in on. He's got several ties to Arkansas. His late grandfather's from Arkansas. He also, his mother and his uncle, and he too, he's from the Oakland area. Darnell Robinson, his mom actually went to school with Darnell. And so he's going to be talking to Darnell about Arkansas and getting more information. But Scotty Thurman's doing an excellent job of recruiting him, saying that he said that, how he's just really upfront and honest with him. And, a lot of coaches just sugarcoat everything and tell a kid how great he is. And Scotty was telling him some of the things that he could improve on. And this kid, he really seems to be driven to get to the next level, and he wants to hear those things. He wants to be the best he can possibly be. But he's a guy that's probably going to be coming in after February for an official visit. Right now, like Arkansas's chances. Not saying he's coming, but right now, Arkansas is really the only school he's talking about officially visiting. He's going to take other official visits, but he's really talking up Arkansas right now.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Great stuff as always, Richard. Have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next Thursday, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.